Hello again and welcome to Arch Eats. My name is George Mahey and with me is my friend, podcast partner, and buddy in Bacchanalia,
Cheryl Bear. That is fantastic.
I thought that one up on the way over.
Oh, wow. Wow, I am impressed. Can I live up to that? Yeah,
so again, this is Arch Eats and springtime is right here, right in full tilt, which means it's patio season.
This episode of Arch Eats is sponsored by Opera Theater of St. Louis.
So today on Arch Eats, we're going to be talking about patios. We're going to tackle two of the biggest categories, what we're calling the gold standards slash our favorite OG patios and rooftop patios. Then in the next episode, we'll get into a whole lot more. And then we'll end up with a micro rant about patio tables, specifically the wobbly ones, the ones we've all had to wrestle with from time to time. But first, as we always do, we'll talk about what we can't stop thinking about this week. These are easy to come up with.
They are. And I've got to tell you, sometimes it's something so obvious, like a great burger. And that's what I can't stop thinking about this week. I've been holding on to this one for a little while. And I just had it again
recently. I love a great burger.
It's so good.
Do tell.
Yes. So JP's Hideout. I think we've talked about this on here in the past. Maybe not. It is a little bar and grill in St. Peter's, I think it is technically. It's on Mid Rivers Mall Drive. It's a little bar and grill. They do, they don't have the hugest menu in the world, but what they do well. And case in point is they have this smash burger. Now, they do a couple different kinds, but their namesake one is a double smash burger. It has two slices of cheese. Vermont cheddar cheese. It has four pieces of bacon, caramelized onion. So you're thinking, okay, it's a bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah, I've heard of those before.
Whoop-de-doo. I have a little bit of smash burger fatigue. I'm not going to lie. I feel like they're everywhere. Everyone's doing them.
Yeah,
it was the big thing. This blew me out of the water because it's a little heftier than the smash burger. So you get the satisfaction of like having something to bite into.
Yeah, it's not like a see-through burger.
Nope, not at all. But then you have like the crispy little edges there. And the thing about it is this cheese. Sometimes cheddar cheese isn't a great melter. For some reason, this one, it just soaks into every little nook and cranny of that patty there. And it's just this gooey thing. And the key to this, which I will say, this is the trinity of burger blends. They use brisket, short rib, and chuck. So it's just, it's fantastic. I can't get over it. You've got to get this burger.
Yeah, that's a good burger blend.
Yes.
A lot of guys use that same blend in different percentages, but it seems to have the right percentage of fat and flavor and
it
texture
does.
And all the things that
it
you need.
It ticks every box that you want for a great burger.
I'm putting that on my list.
Yeah.
I haven't been out there
I
yet.
I think it's my favorite. I'm going to go ahead and call it. I think this is my favorite smash burger in town.
This week.
Ask me again next week because I do eat a lot of burgers.
The thing I can't stop thinking about, this was an appetizer at Katie's. They just put it on the menu a week ago. It's whipped ricotta and figs, and that's all that it says. But what is interesting about it, it's an appetizer, but it's so good you can eat it for dessert as well. And it's the ricotta that's the secret. The ricotta is a ricotta de buffalo. It's really fancy ricotta that they import every week from Italy. Comes straight to Katie's. It's a big deal. That's the secret, according to the chef. The figs that they put on there are very carefully sourced. These were dried figs because it's not fresh fig season, but that's okay because the concentration of flavor in a dried fig is really intense. They had two kinds of figs, so that added some interest. And they said that this dish will be around until November. It'll start into fresh figs later, so you'll see this no matter when you visit Katie's. You know, there's pistachios on it. They're you know, roasted in some olive oil and thrown on top, but then they go into this honey. There's a wildflower honey that the chef says is the best honey that he could find in town, wildflower honey.
And is it local? Do you know?
Yeah,
local honey?
It's, okay. It's a local beekeeper that he says is the man. And then they use, again, part of the garnish is this Partana olive oil. Do you use this? This is a Sicilian olive oil that a lot of chefs use. It's a first press virgin olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. And it's light and it's bright and it's got a lot of flavor. And I think it's fairly expensive. But like I said, a lot of the chefs use it because it's been ranked as the best olive oil in the world in several places.
Oh, that sounds outstanding.
So again, all these little things add up to something very special. And there aren't that many ingredients, but again, it just goes to show you use the best ingredients and you come up with a really, really good item. So the coup de grace, as far as I'm concerned, is they could have put it on crackers or crostini. Mm-hmm. But they use a pizza bianca, which is basically a white pizza. It's just pizza dough and olive oil and salt. And sometimes they'll put cheese on it, but not here. Anyway, that's it. That's your cracker. That's your carrier. And I'm telling you, a little smear of that ricotta on that pizza bread, and you'll think you've died and gone to heaven.
Oh,
it's just outstanding. And this was, again, an appetizer for four of us the other night on a spring evening on Katie's patio in Rock Hill. It was so good. Speaking of patios, that's what we're talking about today.
That's a good segue there. I love it.
So before we get into our favorites, and we're going to go through all those, I wanted to talk a little bit about restaurant patios in general, kind of a what to know before you go. Mm-hmm. Just a few tips from George, basically. So I think that people need to keep in mind that most of these patios are first come, first serve, right? And if you're a walk-in, it doesn't hurt to place a little status call ahead of time and say, what's going on? How are you doing? Can we be put on the waiting list? There's all kinds of things that you can ask. You know, find out if there's fans or umbrellas or heaters or things that you might need. Is it dog friendly? Some people think that's a great thing. And some people said that is a deal killer. I can't deal with that. So you have to know about things like that. Is there an outside bar? Because sometimes when the patio's full, you can dine at the bar. Here's one. Here's how geeky I am. Okay. Determine which direction the patio faces. An east-facing patio tends to be cooler, better or for worse.
Wow, this is really getting in the weeds here.
Sometimes that's to your favor, and sometimes you want it cooler, sometimes you don't. And again, a west-facing patio faces the sun, which is great when you want to check out a sunset, or if you want to just have to get out somewhere when the temperature just hit 60 and you've got to eat outside. That's one of my tips. Basically, you can learn a lot by placing a simple, should we risk it, call.
Sure, absolutely. Can I add a tip to that as a former server? My tip is don't ever order hot tea on a patio.
Bad luck?
Oh my gosh, it'll kill your server. Someone I worked with one time called it the 16-piece drink. And I will stand by that. It requires so much effort. It will throw your server into the weeds if you order hot tea. So just if you're going to really want it, don't do it as an afterthought. You've got to really want that hot tea if you're going to do that to your server.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I've got one more trick. I use this when I can. I wonder if you've done the same thing. But if a place takes reservations and is sold out, but it's early, say like it's 6 o'clock, I say, plead your case and say, hey, what if we're out of here in an hour? Do you have a 7 o'clock reservation? We will be out of here by that time. And I can't tell you how many times that trick has worked.
Mm-hmm.
If the host or the manager or the owner is there, it's like, hey, this is found money. And if this guy's willing to play the game, we should be too. So I think that's just a really good thing. It's really to play if you're a consumer, if you're a diner. Have you ever tried that trick? Because it works.
I have. It really does. And especially on the patio, I think they build in probably a little bit even extra time because they expect people to linger out there. So if you tell them, this is my out time, then I think they're more inclined to accommodate you.
Patios are a restaurant owner's best friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's rent-free space. And let's face it, the window is fairly limited in St. Louis. We all love to get out there, but it doesn't last that many months. So I contend that these restaurant owners should want to maximize that time and consider please like I just indicated.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
That's a good tip for sure.
So those are our pre-dining patio recommendations. We'll be right back.
Opera season is back. Sample the flavors of Seville, the unforgettable taste of Paris at Christmas, and the grandeur of the Roman Renaissance, all brought to life on stage at Opera Theater of St. Louis. From haute couture to historic costume design, and from intricately detailed props to grand sets, a night at the opera is a feast for all of your senses. Learn more about Opera Theater's 2024 festival season by visiting experienceopera.org.
And now let's get into some specifics. I should first mention that we have compiled, Cheryl has compiled most of these, a master list of over 175 patios in St. Louis that we would recommend. And you can now find it under the dining tab at stlmag.com. And these patios are listed They're done by region, correct?
They are. They're done by different parts of town. So
neighborhoods.
Yeah, exactly. So think, everything from South City, Far West County, North County, Kirkwood Webster, those areas, Maplewood. We figured it would be a really easy way to divide it up for people. And, I was surprised myself by how many there were. I mean, we got to 175, and I probably could have still kept going, to be honest with you.
But we should tell people, just because you've got, two tables on the sidewalk and a dog bowl doesn't mean you've got a patio.
Exactly.
We try to have these be curated a bit,
sure,
and places that we would want to dine.
Yeah, we had to draw the line somewhere. And I think that's a good way to kind of introduce what we're talking about today, is that we could not sit here and talk about 175 patios. We had to really be thoughtful about maybe what people want to know when, they're looking for a place, different styles of dining. So we were really trying to curate this.
Yeah. And for this exercise, instead of going geographically, we picked five categories, like I said, for better or for worse, and we'll just see how it goes. The first one, we started at the top with the gold standards, the OGs. Each one of us picked a couple. I think, again, that could be so many, but I thought for me, the OG patio is probably McGurk's.
Absolutely.
In Soulard. You walk into that place. I like to walk in through that side street where you walk in through that wrought iron gate and you go up those stairs, and it's just your head's on a swivel. Ahead of you is that sunken dining area.
Yes.
There's a bar to the right. There's a bar to the left. There's a fountain. There's a little pond with koi in it. There's a big bar further on is completely covered. And the whole place is a giant party. I mean, it always feels good in there. And you just can't wait to sit down and have a good time. It's the quintessential fun patio in St. Louis. You see people of all ages there. I used to go to Molly's when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of outgrow Molly's
because
it's a little bit, it drifts a little bit younger. But
sure.
McGurk's is people of all ages. Have a Reuben and a beer and just have a good time.
Gosh, it's so wonderful. I think the mark of a great patio is a water feature. And I mean, they're like a botanical garden, forget just like a little waterfall in the corner.
And they got 2-foot koi in that pond. There's some big fish in there.
Yeah, exactly. Don't throw your fish and chips in there. Maybe that's our tip from McGurk's.
The other one, it's been an OG for a long time, is Adara. Ever since it was Scape, it was an Escape. That little courtyard,
yes.
It's a big courtyard, actually, behind the restaurant on Maryland Plaza there. You walk down that little alleyway, and all of a sudden, this beautiful courtyard opens up in front of you. And it's like a secret garden back there. It's very, very special. And again, Adara's food's good. It's pasta, pizza, Italian foods. They do a great job. But camped out on this patio, and they've got a TV there. They've got a bar there you can sit at. And you look at this giant ivy wall. That's what Adara means, is ivy. And you think of this, boy, what a beautiful wall they planted. That's the side of a parking lot that most people don't realize until you really look at it. And even if you look at it, you don't see it. I shouldn't probably blow the secret.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Adara is just a great place. I know you're going to say this, but I'm going to say it first. In the wintertime, they've got those chalets there. And people call them huts or igloos. No, Adara calls them chalets, and it's not an overstatement. They're really, really nice. It's a structure, I think, from 4 to 8 people. And these things, as soon as they put them up, they book them up. So as soon as you see this happen in the wintertime, that's how they keep that patio open. And it's a fun experience hanging out in those chalets. They're heated. They've got little blankies in there if you want.
Little twinkle lights.
Little twinkle. It's so
it's
charming.
Magical.
It is. It's really fun. So that's Adara.
And my hot tip about Adara, they have my favorite dessert in town. Well, top two, because the wedding cake at Twisted Tree is also up there on that list. But they have you had their amaretto cream pie?
No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It is so good, George. It's like a shortbread crust, amaretto cream, and like this tower of whipped cream on top of it. It's kind of a play, on like a banana cream or a coconut cream. But it's just amaretto cream.
But don't ask your server to steer that out to the table.
No, not
have some
at all.
Trouble.
Oh, gosh. It's so great.
I've got one more OG. Again, these are all pretty obvious. Sasha's on Demun probably checks all boxes. I mean, it's the really cool sidewalk patio.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on that sidewalk. And, they open the doors to the inside so you can see what's going on inside. But then you can go upstairs and it's a whole other experience where you're overlooking Concordia Seminary, all that green space. They now have a retractable roof up there. They have heaters up there for the wintertime months. And there's actually another room up there where you can have a party or escape if the weather gets bad. Sasha's just does it all. And it's one of those west-facing 60-degree patios. Yes. As soon as the temperature hits 60, that place is packed.
Absolutely. And they did such a great job maximizing that space because they were open for years before they had that space up there. So the fact that they were able to just really turn that into something special.
It's a big, expensive undertaking.
Oh, there. Special. Well, I have a couple as well. And these, again, they're the obvious ones, but they're obvious for a reason. They are that special. Not a restaurant, but a bar, Venice Cafe. You cannot talk about patios in St. Louis without Venice Cafe. I mean, here we are waxing about McGurk's being, you know, like this oasis. That's how I think of Venice Cafe. But also, like, I think Mosaics. I think if the City Museum were a patio,
exactly,
it would be Venice Cafe.
And it's as fun and wacky as a place can be. And if you ever want to blow somebody's mind from out of town, just take them there and not tell them anything about it. And then they'll like look at you sideways like, where the hell did you just take me?
They'll think this is the coolest place on earth, isn't it? Yeah. So Venice Cafe, that is an absolute must visit. And then my second one, again, you know, I know I'm Captain Obvious here, but the Boathouse. The Boathouse is so lovely.
I like the captain reference at the Boathouse. Very good.
Right? That was an unintentional pun, but thank you for catching it and making me look very witty. There is something about just sitting there. Again, we're talking about a water feature. You know, this
That's
is
a
the
big one.
Ultimate water feature in St. Louis, I guess, besides the Mississippi. You know, you get to watch people paddle boating and canoeing by. And the food, they have upped their game since they first opened with Sugar Fire.
Well,
this
is the Sugar Fire
folks
group. So if you like the Sugar Fire group and everything they do, and most of us do, that's why.
It's a great menu. Yeah. And it's the kind of food you want. You know, you sit back in those little chairs. You've got a little covering. You're watching the water. People go by. It's prime people watching.
Feed the ducks. I'm surprised they didn't put a time limit on those tables.
Because
you could hang out there, especially when there's live music. You can hang out there all afternoon.
All day long. And I think a lot of people do. So, you know, keep that in mind. But yeah, Boathouse, you cannot talk about it without
that. And before we move on, there's one more OG that I want to acknowledge. We must bow our heads in memoriam, Vindicet.
Oh.
The erstwhile Vindicet. I have not heard if that building has been resold yet or not.
Gone, but not forgotten.
That was when you talk about restaurant patios in St. Louis in the last two decades. That was it. That was the first word out of everybody's mouth. So I hope that somebody comes around and revives that, because that'll be an instant hit just from nostalgia's sake.
Yes. Well, and I think that's a pretty good segue into our next category that we're talking about. And especially, I know there's one, kind of the first one, I think, on your list that, to me, if there's an heir to Vindicet, it's this place you're going to mention, but we're going into Rooftops next.
Yes, yes.
Rooftops. Can there be a better way to spend time on a patio than on a rooftop? It's soaring. It's beautiful. It's breezy.
Yeah, the breezy's a big deal in the summertime in St. Louis. It's nice to have that breeze. At the Bellwether, that could be in our hidden patios too, because you can't see it. There's two patios. They're both building length. And they're both west-facing. Check out the sunsets. And I love the food there. And the third floor patio is for general dining. The second floor patio is for overflow dining. And if you have a banquet or an event there. So you can be placed on one of two patios. What's interesting there, kind of a sidebar, if you book a banquet at Bellwether and an outside banquet, what if it's going to rain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got you covered. They've got a venue called Bellwether Hall, which is inside.
Yes.
So when you book that outside, you automatically get the inside.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So you
brilliant.
Don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about renting a big tent at the last minute.
Wow.
I thought that was
good for them. That's very thoughtful.
A really, really smart perk for anybody that's considering doing a party, doing a reception, doing anything like that. So that's the Bellwether. They're open for dinner and for Sunday brunch. I love going to Sunday brunch there. Another one that's hidden, too, is the On God Art Bar.
Yes.
And atop the On God Arts Hotel. And people don't know about that place because they can't see it. It's just, for some reason, it's one of those under-the-radar hidden gems. And once you walk up and walk out there and see the views of that arch from the 12th floor or wherever the 12th, 13th floor, it's just spectacular. There's soft seating. There's high tops. There's a party going on up there all the time. It's part of their hotel. It's the hotel bar. and it's always fun. I love going up for happy hour. You go up there before an event or a concert or a play or something like that. And really, to me, the best part about that is to watch the sunset, not in the west, but reflecting in the east off the arch and off those glass buildings. And it's just fire red.
So
it's
beautiful.
Just amazing.
Gosh,
so,
it's gorgeous.
So that's the On God Art Bar.
You are so right about that one. That's kind of one of those showstoppers that if you have people in from out of town and you really want to show them the best of St. Louis.
And there's some cool things as you walk up. There's cool things when you get off that elevator in the lobby there. It's just a cool place that
yes.
a lot of people still don't know about. Another one they don't know about is the Bullock Terrace, which I really like. It's part of the Live by Lowe's complex mm-hmm. in Ballpark Village, but it's kind of hard to figure out because it's part of the hotel, but it's on the far, far, far eastern part, which puts it right above Katie's. So
yeah.
it looks like it's a part of Katie's.
Yes.
But it's this elevated patio, and I think it's opened before, during, after Cardinal events. And you can access it through the hotel, but it's a bit of a hike, but there is an entryway next to Katie's too. So I didn't know that. You can actually get up on that gangway.
Oh, that's great.
There's a stairway that they open. Everything about the place is cool.
Exactly.
There's a full bar. There's a menu that they cook at an outdoor kitchen that's on one side. They've got that giant TV there. They've got green space. There's just so much going on. There's soft seating that overlooks the stadium, overlooks the green space next door. So you're high above it, but you know you're still part of it, but not really.
Yes.
You know, you're close to the action, but you're not in the middle of the action. My friend summed it up perfectly. He calls it the adult swim lane of Ballpark Village.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that perfectly stated?
What a fantastic way to describe it. That is great. I'm going to use that from here on out.
I told him I would. And Ben,
yes.
Anyway, I was going to take credit, but no, it's
yeah, right.
it's a friend.
Yeah. Well, they're a very brilliant friend. My place is Maryland House now, where, you know, we're talking about rooftops that I just can't get enough of. Maryland House, this is Kevin Brennan's place. I guess you'll call it like the sister restaurant to Brennan's in their Central West End. It's been open for what? A little over a year
probably.
At this point, something roughly like that. You've got great cocktails, great bites to eat, but really their outdoor space, you look out and you see Maryland Plaza right beneath you. You look to your left, you see the Chase. You look to your right, you see the downtown skyline.
And the fountain that's below
and the
you.
The fountain. You just feel like you are in the thick of everything that's going on. And I can't get enough. I think it's just the best place to impress people.
That is a place I used to call Brennan's the coolest bar in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I now call Maryland House the coolest bar in St. Louis. Yeah. I don't think that's an overstatement. And it's one of those places you can take people from out of town
mm-hmm.
to brag about your city and just bring them up there and kind of let them just explore. There's a lot going on inside and outside at Maryland House.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say you have to be fancy or anything, but it's definitely somewhere where you're, you know, if you're thinking, maybe I want to get a little bit dressed up tonight. Maybe I just want to, you know, have a nice drink, sip that, feel really chic, really sophisticated. That is the place.
Leave the cargo shorts at home.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to go
cargo shorts. I almost said cargo shorts.
It's very St. Louis of you. I should call you Jarge.
Jarge.
What
else you got, Cheryl?
So the other one, I'm going way out west. This is in my neck of the woods these days. It's Big Chief Roadhouse, this historic restaurant. You know, it's way out in Wildwood, like way, way, way out. Past 109, it's not even called Manchester anymore. It's 100 at that point. They recently added a speakeasy to their, you know, dining concept there. And it's on the second floor of this historic building there. I mean, gosh, how long has that been there? It's been there since the 1800s,
long
I want
time.
To say. Yeah. They have an open air like terrace. And you're in the middle of Wildwood. So you are surrounded by trees. You hear animals in the background. Really great cocktails, soft seating up there. This, you know, great stargazing because you're far enough away from the city that there is not light pollution out there. So you're looking at the stars. You're hearing the coyotes in the background.
That is a great little road trip.
Yeah, it really is.
And are they open, I guess, at night only?
Night only. I'm not 100% sure if they are weekends only. Or if they're one of those like Thursday through Saturday things.
Yeah, I think that's what it
yeah.
is. I know they were starting. They just opened up a couple weeks
yeah.
ago. It started slowly, I know, but boy, that's a great call.
Oh my gosh, it's so
fun. I knew
about
the speakeasy. I didn't know about the terrace.
Yeah, the terrace is just fantastic out there. And I'm telling you, it's great star watching.
We're going to go into a few new places. We wanted to try to stay as current as we can. And there are some that I know that people don't know about because I just found out about them and I try to keep up with this stuff. One of them is ESCA, which we've talked about.
Yes.
This is Ben Paremba's place over in the Del Mar Makers District. And he just opened his patio up. It's covered. It's extremely cool. And they take reservations there.
Yeah.
So there's one that does take reservations. They've got some open wall areas that they've just planted with grapevines. So
in
a couple months, this will all be grapevined in, which will add to the intimacy.
Gorgeous.
And the privacy. And it's just a beautiful space. When I dined there for dinner, I said, man, I want to come back to the patio. So I was talking to Ben about this. He goes, you think that's cool? Wait till you see the one I'm putting in across the street at Florentine.
Oh.
Which will be open by mid-May.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm told. And apparently there's a big sprawling patio with a big wood-burning oven. So that's what we have to look forward to. I said, so mid-May? He goes, I got to be open by mid-May. I've already taken graduation reservations.
Oh, goodness.
So
fingers
we know
crossed
it's
for him.
Happen. So that's ESCA and Florentine. Those two great places. Ben's places are all great. This one I've been watching happen, and it's right up the street from us here on Sutton Avenue in Maplewood. This is the Blue Duck. Which, when they said they were going to put a third floor patio or a third floor deck up there, I just didn't see how they were going to do
it.
But sure enough, it's up there. It seats 20 to 25 people. It's beautiful. It looks north and literally above the restaurant.
Sure.
And on the second floor is an inside room that seats 25 also. So you can do a party there. And I saw they had a wedding reception up there. They were having their cocktails on the top deck and they moved to the second deck inside to have dinner.
Oh, sounds lovely.
But it's really cool. They call the inside space the duck blind, and it's open for private events, but also overflow dining. So you'll see it open. I think they're going to try to open it whenever the restaurant's open, especially in the summertime, spring, summer, when people are going to want to sit up there. It's interesting. The Blue Duck has this system. It's a kind of counter service. I'd call it counter service, but they call it continuous service.
Mm.
You order at the counter and then someone is kind of assigned to you. It's like, you go, you know, you're going to sit here, but Joe will watch you from here on out. So they really want you to know that just because you've placed your order, it's not over. He's going to watch over your table like a server would. And he calls it continuous service, which I've never heard it called that. But anyway, that's just a cool place that you can only see as you drive down Sutton in Maplewood.
Yeah, hidden. Definitely. It kind of ticks that box too.
There's one also, and everybody's been talking about this place, Ramsay's Kitchen by Gordon Ramsay, right? The old cinder house in the Four Seasons Hotel, St. Louis. Again, St. Louis's first Gordon Ramsay branded restaurant, big deal. They opened very quietly. They just kind of wanted to get started. And you know, people like us are like, we want to write about it. We want to come down and take pictures and write stories. And they said, please, let us get situated. And they're finally getting situated. I just talked to them and they said the dining terrace out there, which is just spectacular.
Yes.
And they've got that outdoor bar that's kind of covered mm-hmm. on the far side. And you can hang out, you can dine on that terrace at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you can hang out at the bar and lounge area for cocktails and I think a bar menu whenever that's open. And if you remember that bar, I mean, that's maybe the prettiest view of the arch that you've ever, because it's kind of cocked at that angle.
It's just a different view than you're used to seeing.
You see it dead on all the
yes.
time. Okay, fine. But boy, it's really pretty from an angle, especially at sunset or when the sun's shining on it.
You want to talk about some of the best places in St. Louis for views. That has to be at the top
it's
of
just
that
cool.
list.
That's
there.
Another place
Absolutely.
You take people and go, you just feel like you're maybe in Chicago or somewhere on a rooftop.
Yeah, somewhere special. Another special place, Idle Wolf, that's a newer place. And I actually, when I first went in there, didn't even realize they had a patio because it's off their gorgeous bar area, the same floor that the restaurant and everything, that big orb that they have, it's on that floor. But you have a lot of information about this
well,
patio.
Well, I have a little bit. I know that it's open, and I wondered if it was, can you get food out there? Yes, you can have a full menu
full
out
menu.
There.
Full menu.
There's four tops, so that's it. So it's first come, first serve, so get there early was the advice that I was given. But it's right through the bar, right through mm-hmm. that giant two-story window. So you're kind of on the other side looking back into that
yes.
bar again. So you're kind of part of the action, but you're completely away
yeah.
from it. It's a really cool place all around. And that patio, if you can snag a table, that's a good place to do it.
Yes, yes. Well, clearly, we have a lot to talk about with these. There's just so many.
Well, and again, we did compile this list, which can be found at sdlmag.com. So check that out. We'll be right back.
This episode is supported by Westport Plaza. The iconic Westport Plaza event series Parties on the Plaza is back, and better than ever. The parties will rock the new green space in the center of Westport Plaza every third Thursday from April through October from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Enjoy high-energy live music from local acts, bar service, and food and beverages from Westport's popular restaurants that surround the green space. Admission is free and open to all ages. Visit westportstl.com/events to learn more.
And now, back to the show.
So that brings us to this week's micro rant, and it's about patios, and it's about patio tables. It's about wobbly patio tables. Cheryl, you and I have talked about this. I contend, you've been a server. It should be part of the server's side work to make sure that the tables are stable,
yes.
right? It's just, especially patio tables, because those are the guys that tend to get moved around.
Oh, goodness gracious,
and,
yes.
And, you know, there are table levelers out there that people can buy, but those always don't work on patio tables. But it's cheaper to use those little plastic wedges and rubber wedges that are there. And
yeah.
I contend, let's just fill everybody's pockets with these
yeah,
things
right.
so that we don't have to, you know, sit with your foot on yeah. the leg in question, anchoring it till your foot goes numb.
Yeah, or throw the sweet and low packets under it, which is always a classic.
Yeah, yeah, five sweet and low packets.
Five and
eight. It works for just a little while.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's why I miss when restaurants used to do the matchbooks.
Oh, yes.
And that was the perfect decision.
Matchbook was perfect.
Is one enough? Is two too many? And you just work those under the table.
Oh, yeah.
That was a long time ago. So give the bussers and give the server some of these wedges so that we don't have to worry about that. Because to me, there's nothing more frustrating than trying to balance that. And like, how are you going to negotiate
yeah.
it? You have to solve that problem.
Yeah, it's pretty irritating. I will give you that for
well,
sure.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, it's not like it makes or breaks a dining experience. It's a real pain in the leg.
Yes.
Okay, I'll just say that.
Literally and figuratively.
So now, as we said before, we're just getting started on this patio thing. In the next episode of Arch Eats, we'll discuss more of our favorite patios, including the hidden gems, plus a handful of honorable mentions and quick hits. Again, in the meantime, though, check out our list of 175 patios we'd recommend. I just bet your favorites are there, plus a whole lot more. Be sure to follow us and share with your friends. And we always provide links in the show notes for everything you heard about today. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow along on Instagram at St. Louis Mag. And feel free to give us a follow personally at George Mahey and Cheryl A. Bear.
If you loved what you heard, show us some love by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. And if you're hungry for even more content, you can subscribe to our dining newsletters for the freshest coverage on the local restaurant and culinary scene.
That's it for this week. Best dishes and see you next time.